God, Father, we
bless you.
Thank you for your presence being in this place already.
Thank you
for all your beautiful blessings. Thank you just for being the God that you always are to us.
Thank you.
We are always depending on you, trusting you. And because of our great need for you, now we ask you to come in even greater way than you have already been here. And God has blessed this time to get together and worship. Bless your word, God, help me to share with your people the best of my ability and future your great ability. God, we really need you. We need a word from you. You're an awesome God. All your people have together to encounter you, not to listen to you, not to even listen to all the other things, but they gather to have an encounter with you. So we pray for that encounter this morning, that it will continue. It's already began to happen.
Yes.
And let it continue, God.
Yes.
And we'll give your name glory. And
Jesus.
In Jesus' name we pray. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good to see all of you here today.
Amen.
We will have it. Some problems with getting set up a podcast with your phone and things. Wi-Fi wasn't doing what we needed to do, but we kind of got it together. We hope so. Hopefully, y'all some have joined the podcast now. So appreciate your patience. Amen. But thanks to our great media arts people, man. Amen. They got a camera and everything. They got it. And so hopefully they can hear it on the podcast. We'll have a prop there for a second. God is good. So I'm glad everybody can jump out. That's what I was kind of working on, kind of home in the office. All right. Let's get it. Let's jump into this thing today. Listen, I don't have a scripture sheet. I gave mine to Rob for the big topics. I really don't. I got that. I just don't have a scripture sheet. If you had a scripture sheet last week, it's the same scripture sheet. We're going to be using it all the way through the series. We just want to look at one verse of this. I really need the scriptures. Amen. You stand all you can with it. Stand quicker. That's an honor of God's word. It's not our word. It's God's word. And we're just going to read verse 4 so we can jump into this thing. Verse 4 says, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amen. May be seated. In the presence of the Lord. Amen. So I want to look at it. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Let's got the outline now. Let me begin this. Got a little ways to go here. One thing about studying the brain word and prayer the brain word, we may have to make this sermon 2 points. I'll try to make this a short sermon. We have to make this a 2 point thing. One thing about studying God's word, when you study God's word, and you're trying to eliminate some things to make the sermon a good size, every time you try to eliminate an idea, that idea is saying, wait a minute, they need to hear about me too.
Right.
But I can't tell them everything. And another idea said, but I'm important. So you have to deal with it. So that's why I may have to make this a 2-part series. We'll see how it goes. But now let's begin. This is, we entitled this series Kingdom Attitudes. Because what we are looking at is once a person, through putting faith in Jesus Christ and begins to follow him and be one of his disciples, amen, through that process, God in his grace gives them a new attitude. Amen. It's not a new attitude that Pastor Bell
talking
about. Yeah. This is a new attitude that's a kingdom attitude.
Yes.
Amen. A kingdom attitude. That the king, through his grace and his spirit, gives his people.
Okay.
And we are looking at these eight attitudes, which are kingdom attitudes, that the Bible calls the Beatitudes, or the blessings of Beatitudes. Last time we met last week together, we talked about Matthew 5 and 3. This morning we want to talk about Matthew 5 and 4. Alright, Bible students. I was having a conversation with Gabrielle one day and talking about how all the different denomination churches and why sometimes they differ. And how can you tell you hear the truth? And I shared with her about the importance of context. Yeah. That's why you look at him, says context is key.
All right.
Amen. Context is what's going on around the thing.
Alright.
A lot of times what's going on around the thing helps you to understand the thing. Alright? So when we look at literary context, if you're reading something, you're reading a paragraph or two paragraphs or a chapter. The way you really understand that chapter correctly is to understand what went on before and what went on after.
Yeah.
What does the chapter before it say, or the paragraph before it say? What does the paragraph after it say? Amen. That helps you to understand that what we call literary context.
Right.
Okay? Look at the stuff before. Look at stuff after. Then it tends to be the correct interpretation. Because if you take a thing out, I told you before, if you take it out of context, if you take text out of context, you get common left.
Right.
Y'all hear me? I don't have to admit that.
Amen.
If you take the text out of context, it leaves you with a common.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So most cunning people, and you know the enemy is cunning.
Yes.
Okay. So he always wants to present text outside of context. So we want to look at this in this passage in context. It's literally in chapter 4. You got the Bible. Turn to chapter 4. But we're looking at the context. Start at 5:1. We're looking at the context, so let me read that for you right there. Because I want y'all to get this. Y'all know that's what I do. It's my whole pastoral mindset. I want people to get it. I want you to get the story. Get what the Bible is saying, and then I want God to give me glory. Because when you get the story, God will get the glory.
Yes.
Amen. So that's why. Now let's go back. Let's see what I got on my paper here. I have something on my document. Matthew 12, chapter 4, verse 12. Alright. Follow him. He's the disciple. Okay. I want you to look at verse 17. You got verse 17. I want to give y'all verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent kingdom of heaven has come near. Okay, so he said, I'm here. So this kingdom is near you now. The kingdom is here. It's near. You can get into it right now. I don't open the door. I'm here. So the kingdom is here. It's not, when you think of kingdom, I said before, most times people think of kingdom as a land. Like you think of the Canada as a kingdom. It's all the land that holds this Canada falls under that president, whatever it is. Okay, the United States falls upon our president, all the United States land. But this is not a land. It will be a land going back to Israel's time. But in our time, he's our king, not because of how much land he possesses, but because of how much of our soul, our heart, he possesses. So everybody whom Christ had possession of your heart and your soul, you are part of the kingdom.
Amen.
So we are a kingdom within a kingdom. Amen. Amen. We are a kingdom within a kingdom. So Jesus said, okay, the kingdom's at hand. And then he goes out and chooses some disciples. Thank you, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. I think basically they may have been all he had right now. I'm not absolutely sure about that. But I know he had these four because they mentioned them. I'm glad you got that scripture. It'll save you some time. Because I want you to go back and read that whole fourth. All of a sudden, that fourth chapter. And now, get down. As we get close to chapter 5, this is the one I really wanted to read for you. Verse 20. Get in verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogue, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. So you see all these people who had different kinds of diseases, different kinds of struggles in their life, they came to Jesus, and Jesus had healed them. Amen. It was a crowd with all kinds of problems, and they had brought their problems to Jesus, and Jesus had healed them. Now we'll go over and chapter 5, Jesus seeing this crowd, but you know, when he's done something good for you,
right.
when he's healed you, right. And you see the amazing thing that he's done,
right.
There are people that want to follow him.
Right.
So, in chapter 5, he sees the crowd going to follow him, and the disciples. He goes up on the mountain and takes his disciples with him, but the crowd, I think, are still able to get the crowd, even though he's kind of mad talking to the disciples, but he knows the crowd's going to be listening.
Right.
He
right.
knows it's going to be some ear hustling in the crowd.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Right.
And so here he is, here is Jesus, and he's talking to the crowd, and he says the words that I compose our text for the day: "Blessed are those that mourn." So they shall be comforted.
All
right. But I need you to have the information so you can see things in context, okay? Now, also, there's a cultural context. We're in Rome. We're in the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire is a culture that we call an honor-shame culture. It's important. It's an honor shame culture. They still exist today. A few years back, there was a guy, a father, listen to this, a father killed his daughters, his two daughters, because they were dating outside of their faith. They were Muslim. They dated outside. And because It did out of servant's faith. It brought shame. Shame on the culture. It brought shame upon the family. So we killed it. Shame on the culture. Shame on the culture is not about an individual, it's about the group. The way you get honor is you connect with the right group. You connect with kings, you're honorable. You connect with those that are wealthy, you're honorable. And Jesus is used this idea. If Jesus is a real teacher and a real rabbi, everybody's expecting Jesus to connect with the scribes and the Pharisees because they were high up. So they said, if he's a real rabbi and he's a person of honor, he needs to connect with the scribes and the Pharisees and religious leaders. But they watch Jesus throughout the gospel. And he's always around people he's not supposed to be around. Publicans, tax collectors, sinners, getting together with folk that are a lower state. People whose status says they are in the shame category. Because it's who you with. Okay. That's why when talk to anyone as well, because your connection and whom you were with say that you're in a shame category or in an honor category. We there aren't people like Alexander the Great, because he was a great warrior, especially in the Greek society. Alexander the Great, hey, we honor him. We honor Herod the Great because they're comfortable and warriors. We even honor David because David, the king of Israel, was a great. They honor people like that. And if you connect with people like that, you have that same honor. You're a person of honor. But if you connect with the lowly, those that have no power, those that have no ability, those lowly people that were hurting and poor, and needy, they would say it's a shame. It's how it comes. Because these regular people, these working people, these people that had a hard time, people that were poor, people they were looked down upon, they never saw in a million years that they could ever they never thought that they would be honored. But Jesus says, a new kingdom is coming.
Right.
And Jesus goes up on a mountain. He doesn't imagine this life. The kingdom is coming. He's the king. And this is, if you remember, whenever time we have a new president, there's always that inauguration. And you say that speech. This is kind of Jesus coming out with inauguration. He's telling you, all right, this new kingdom that you now have a privilege to enter is different than the kingdom you've been looking at. I was looking at some maps yesterday of the world, maps of the world. And, you know, with the maps we look at, most of you ever in school, the maps you look at, amen, had like, you know, Canada and America, and then like Mexico. And we've been living in that our whole life. But I looked at some maps that were that had a southern orientation. So everything was turned upside down. So Mexico was above America, and Canada was below America. And something, if you showed that in a classroom, after kids had been, you know, used to the other map, they would say, that map is wrong.
Right.
That map is upside down. America's supposed to be above Mexico.
Right.
You can't go, but yeah, but that picture is upside down. What I'm going to say to you today, as we look at these beatitudes, these kingdom attitudes, it's going to seem like Jesus was turning the world sat down.
Right.
These attitudes are not the normal attitudes. So look at this. Here he is. He's ready to make a speech. He's on the mountaintop. On the mountain. That probably is up on the side of the mountain where everybody can hear him. And he began to make his speech. He's already talking about, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that the poor spirit means you don't have what it takes. And you know you don't have what it takes. Okay? You can't make it on your own. See, the honor of people that wrong said, you honor it, you're strong and mighty and a conqueror that could make it on your own. But somebody that couldn't make it on their own, had to depend on somebody else, you weren't about to be honorable. That wasn't so. So when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, he turned their concept of kingdom. Now, keep that in mind about the chamber. And study a little bit more about the chamber on the kingdom. Get a check. Now, we have some key words. Okay? Key word, we're talking about this one. Blessed last time. From the Greek word, Makarios. Makarios. Now, what this word means? It began with the meaning "had." That's why Robert Shuler, who used to be pastor of the Garden Grove Cathedral, had a book called "The Happy, the Be Happy Attitude." We talked about this. So, that's basically what that word means. But I'm not going to just stop at what the word means. I'm going to tell you what it would have meant to those people who were listening to Jesus and this man. Because of their status, these were people who thought they could never have money. These were people that thought they could never be at an exalted position. So as they hear us and they listen to Jesus, and Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that cry tears. Blessed are they that have that feeling that we have when we lose a loved one.
Have mercy.
Blessed are those that grieve. Because in exercise, stoicism and ability not to feel, but to do what you're supposed to do. It's like often an opposite, it's that man is supposed to cry. If you're a man of honor, you don't cry, you can deal with it. That's part of being a man. And that you're honored because of that ability. A lot of times, you want to look to you, right? You know, especially if a young boy, dad, in our culture, that's not what we do. We hold the knee. We took the roof strap. We don't give up. And we'll need therapy at home. We don't need a little therapy at home. Right now, we hold the knee. We be a man. Amen. So we've been holding in our whole life. But you got to understand that sometimes you can't hold it. Sometimes
right,
you got to let out. And I don't want to have to pay nobody.
Right.
To help me let it out. Because God has already designed a way for me to let it out. When I'm dealing with a cloud of hurt, he wants to rain before.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I had a witness in this. I told you that might involve me to get through this because there's so much stuff I want to share with you.
Mm-hmm.
So they're listening to Jesus, and he said, blessed are they that mourn. And it's happy, but it's so much more a richer word than they hear. Because when they feel blessed, remember, we use the term blessed like In the song, when we say, bless the Lord, we come and exalt him, honor him. And so that same sense of these people with these attitudes are blessed. They're not just happy, but their happiness is partially because they're being esteemed and they're being honored in a way that they never, ever thought they would be honored. He said, the attitudes you have. Have you ever had a child that's on the honor roll? He said, hey, now, when they make the honor roll, they have.
Right.
Amen. When you got a child on the honor roll in school, the teacher or the school is trying to say, good job. Good work. Amen. Keep it up. You're on the right way. You headed to be somebody special.
All right.
Amen. And when Jesus says blessed, he's saying you're happy, but your happiness comes in the fact that you're living and your attitudes please the Almighty. I'm never happier than when my attitudes please him. I'm never happier than when my life and my character are pleasing to him. So it's an extension. Yes, you're happy, but so much more. And in order to get the true richness of what blessed means, you've got to put it in the culture context. Jesus is speaking to a crowd where there were people who had diseases and they were poor and they were hurting and they had all kinds of psychosis and neurosis, and they came to him, and some were demons, some had spiritual problems, some had mental problems, and they came to him, and he healed every man of them. Now he said, not only have you been healed, but because of the attitude you have, you've got this attitude that I'm going to talk about. Lifted up in a that's how they hear. Not like we hear. Not like we are happy. We hear happy like the good life that Snoop talking about on the beach with a girl. Where it even began, when they thought they were sinning about the gods, But you know, Rome had gods, not one god. And they said, well, the gods, this is where God feels, because they were so full of full pain and suffering. So that's what it was originated and it came down. And we think about blessings that we just began to think about it, that's what you get. Someone say, I don't mean to harm. It's okay to say this, but I'm just trying to show you how we use it. Someone say, I've been blessed with a job. God gave me a job. But of course, now, I just want to ask you this so you can make you a fuller understanding of when you were looking for a job, was you blessed then? Oh. Yes, he did have a job in, because God is like that. But before the job came, I was blessed.
Yes.
Before the healing came, I was blessed.
Yes.
Amen. Before the children came, I was blessed. Before the marriage, I was blessed. Amen. Before, amen, paying off a debt, I was blessed. Before I finished school or college, I was blessed. helps the pain to come. The pain, there's some pain that needs to come. Because you got hurt. So in that realness, you have to joy and you have to hurt. Because you know it's not going to happen to you for a while at least. So you hurt. But it's good hurt. Because it's helping you move forward in the grieving process. Amen. So you come, there's good times ahead. Grieve for the process. So what I think what this is saying, because I'm not wrong in this passage, is just like we grieve losing a loved one, we ought to grieve about our sin. Just like it hurt when you lose that person you love, it ought to hurt like shit when you know you disappointed God. When he's called you to a certain life, and you have lived that life, or when you live in the world isn't what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah. Have mercy, have mercy.
Oh, Lord, I'm not getting what I want to get to. Hey, morning, first thing I want to look at morning is a mourning the world in winter. You got to mourn the world in the winter. There's a thing that we see that are going on in our world that even our brains are mourning. They are the result of sin in our world. God never meant for it to be that way. But because of sin, there's a thing in our world that we must mourn. We ought to be like Nehemiah. I think I got that on Nehemiah 1. You remember Nehemiah, amen. His brother came up, amen, to where he was, in Citadel, amen, Shushan. And they told him about what was going on in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
How the gates were torn down.
Yeah.
And how bad his city was. In a light, amen, Nehemiah was looking at Judea through the window of the world, and he saw what sin had done to his homeland, and he mourned it.
Yeah.
And he cried.
Yeah.
Because he saw what sin had made his homeland,
yeah,
a place of waste.
Yeah.
Sometimes we look through the window of our
world. Amen.
There's a lot of mourning.
Absolutely.
My brothers and sisters, when I look through the window of our world and I see what's happening in Ukraine, some ego maniacal autocrat who just wanted to divert attention from the problems he's having in his country. Amen. So he started a war where innocent children, men, women, children, families torn up, buildings are torn down for no reason at all except for one person's ego. Now more than that. I look at them on the news and I feel sad. I feel sorrow for them. It breaks my heart that one person can do so much damage. Feel like they're doing a pandemic. And so many people in hospitals.
Yeah.
On lung machines.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, if I'm on that, I at least want my loved ones there.
Yeah.
But they have to die. And nobody can even come in.
Yeah.
To hold your hand. They carried you. They didn't have words. You hear how incredibly painful that must be. And I mourn every time I saw that scene.
Yes.
Mourn as I look through the window of my world. And I see a brother. For those 8 minutes, close to 9 minutes, with a policeman on his neck. that he came through you. Then nobody will help. Because they were afraid. And knowing that that's not the only time it happens. It happens time and time again in our community. And you try to protest and you try to leave the change thing, but it just doesn't seem like it's going to be stable. Not all of us, it's a great policeman. It's a great officer. But there's still some things that are embedded in policing. I'm mourning what happened on January
6th. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
The craziness of it all. I'm mourning things that happened like this. I'm mourning how many unborn children have to die.
Jesus.
How many are going to be killed by a drunk driving accident with the other people, the other families, on their way home from church, on their way home from work?
Yeah.
What's wrong with our world? What's wrong?
Merciful.
When our world kidnap a young girl, hold her for ransom. What's wrong with our girl? With our world, when you kidnap both children and both loved ones, and you sell them in the sacks of slavery over and over again, and I look through the window of our world, my heart is growing and I'm on what's
happening. Yeah,
that attitude's going to happen. Anytime you see what's going on, see if you're alright with it.
Yeah.
It don't break your heart, it don't bring tears to your eyes. You don't have the right attitude.
Yeah.
What's going wrong?
Yeah.
Nehemiah, that right attitude is gone. But wait a minute. Not only do I mourn what I see. Out the window. When I look at the world outside the window, but also, wait a minute, before I look at the world outside the window, I got to look at the man in the mirror.
Yeah.
I'm on for what I see. When I look at the man, I can't get outside the window. I got to look inside the mirror.
Jesus.
I see what sin has done to my world. But first, not only must I see what sin has done to my world, but I got to see what sin has done to me.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't look at ourselves. We look at everybody else. I got to look at the man in the mirror. Because he might need to change his ways.
Amen.
And when I look at the man in the mirror, amen, I see things, areas of my life, struggles I have, things that I've done that disappointed the Almighty who's been so graciously good and lavished me with his goodness.
Come on.
If you look closer, sometimes if you harbor sin, not what Harvard said.
Yeah.
Harvard like we put a boat in and tie it up and we'll be there for a while.
Right.
So sometimes that's what we'll do with sin. We'll horrible.
Yeah.
You better be that this attitude that Jesus is talking about, this attitude of mourning, said, hey, when sin comes in my life, it makes me uncomfortable. It hurts me like the death of a loved one. Because then like I'm separated from that loved one, now I'm separated from the Almighty, the one I love the most.
Yeah.
Amen. A lot of times, you know, the enemy wants you to be comfortable with sin.
Amen. It's true.
That's the danger. That's the danger of believers.
It's true.
Because sometimes you can get so comfortable with sin, you invite him over.
Yeah. It's a complaint.
Yeah. Come up with him on the sofa.
Amen.
Y'all will cuddle up on the sofa. And sin gets so good to him, you give sin a cheat.
Right.
Oh, I wish I had a minute.
Amen.
And Keith said, you come in time to walk.
Oh, you have access.
if you don't mourn, it will, if you don't mourn it's in your life, it will morph you into a person you don't like.
Yeah, it's true.
It'll change you into the kind of person. And you look in the mirror one day and you say, I don't like this guy. You look in a mirror, and that person, that man or that female you see in the mirror, will become so shameful to you that you have a hard time looking people in the eye.
It's true.
Because of the way you feel about yourself. Well, I ain't made it too far. I'm still working on it, y'all. Let's get a day for them. Let's get a day for them quickly. I'm trying to just make you deserve for them. Y'all know what happened. Y'all know what happened to David. David done so many great things. But most times we think about, the bad one. The one incredibly bad thing. That David did. Amen. David had an assignment from God. Had a sign. He was anointed. Had a sign. He had a sign. He had a sign from God to be king, to lead Israel. He had done a great job. Had a great kingdom. Had defeated all his enemies. Kingdom going well. But when it was time for people who had David's assignment to go out to war, it said, David said, they can stay at home today.
Yeah, yeah.
You see, in that idleness.
Yeah.
When you're not doing your assignment. That's why you need to be pursuing your assignment.
Yeah.
Because when you're not pursuing your assignment, the enemy is pursuing you. And he was there, and he went up on a rooftop, saw a woman in a compromised position, and he said, bring her to me. And you know the story, you've been up there before. And David sinned with Bathsheba.
Yeah.
And he told David that story. Amen. Because what he was doing, amen. what's wrong with you. Who are you becoming? When you turn this out, under God's anointing, you are willing to sacrifice. You are willing to sacrifice your life for your kingdom. Now, you are sacrificing your kingdom for you.
Sin marks you
into something that stuff will never be. David, you're changing. This man would have died for you. When you told him to go home to his wife, he was so loyal. He thought, I better sit out here on the porch. Because I want to go home, but David might leave me. They might leave me at war. I can't, I know I'm loyal to my soldiers. I'm loyal to the kingdom. I can't go home. How can I enjoy my wife when all the other soldiers are out there and they can't get there? No, they can't get there. I don't mind either. David, you had this man that had this kind of heart to the kingdom and you told him that you got somebody else. And you said, when he get out of that fight, because you know he's going to be fighting.
Amen.
I want everybody to move back.
Yeah.
And leave him by himself. You know that he would never let you by yourself.
Absolutely.
You know if he'd have been the only one out there, he'd have been right by you. You know he would go ride and die.
Yeah.
You know how kind of love he had. And you told the whole truth, the poor man, and let him die by himself, David. So sometimes, when I look at the man in the mirror, before I come up here, they fool me.
Yeah.
They talk about what I see, the world and the women.
Yeah.
I got first, ask myself. God needs to change my ways. Because you know, every time when I tap in this pulpit, if I don't tap a right heart, I want to be able to climb up and know everything all right with the Lord. Because it's not as hard to climb up, but it seems like you don't belong in this high place. It seems like you don't belong in this high place because I'm mourning the man in the mirror. We have to be, wait a minute, we have to deal with the man. I'm glad to y'all today because that's the number. See, most of us that are Christian, we tell folk, we're not worried about that. But I'm telling you, this wasn't no ordinary person. David was anointed. David was a man after God's own heart. And David was the one that slew Goliath. And when David is the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down and breathe past. He leads me to pass the rest of his name's sake. He restores my soul. Yeah, if I want to go to battle, tell them, I will fear for you, but thou art with me, thy God and thy staff. They comfort me.
That's
the day. That's the day that we talked about. The one that said, the word is a lamp unto my feet. And a light along my path. That's David that we're talking about. David was a man of God. But he was no advocate to the poor. And you think you're immune to sin because that's not a validation that can make you immune to sin.
Yeah.
One thing good about David, if you look at Psalm 51, he said, I'm messed up. He said, when I messed up a sin was never before. Wherever I go, I'm sin. Amen. I looked in the mirror, I saw a sin.
Yeah.
Amen. I was out of the chariot, seemed like a sin was following me.
Yeah,
seemed like a herd of the horses following me, but it's really my sin.
Yeah.
Wherever I go, I couldn't do it with my sin, Lord. So he said, Lord, I need to get help. I know how terrible my sin is because it's always before me. I can't get the shade. from you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in the Old Testament, it could take anointing, spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
Spirit from you. In the Old Testament, the New Testament, we speak the spirit. We say, don't take the spirit from me. Don't take my ability to do the sign that you gave me from me. Don't take it from me.
Yeah.
But renew within your clean heart.
Yeah.
Clean my heart up. Give me the right spirit. Something in our life is not pleasing to you. Help us to mourn that thing. turn from it. Mourning till we repent of it. Mourning till we come to you. Because we know you're the only way out. But what a great way out you are. So God, this is what we want this moment. We just want to be clean.
Yes, God. Right Spirit.
As a church, as a local body, God, as we together just want to be that kind of church. We do bless to be that kind of church, God. They continuously look at ourselves in the mirror and look at the world outside the window and mourn, but mourn in a way that brings us closer to you. We are truly blessed when we have an attitude that always moves forward. That's the attitude that's honored in the kingdom. That's the attitude that you are. That's the attitude that you want. But we're going to have it. Show it in the Spirit. So leave that together here today. Don't let the enemy take the seat. Amen. Be back next week, y'all. Be back next week. And we just come to the group and say, Saturday night, 6:30, family meeting. When most people call it business meeting, we call it family meeting. Saturday night, 6:30, be here. Got some important things to discuss. Please try to be here. I'm not sure if I'm putting on the podcast we made, but we really try to be here in presence. It's a lot better if you're here in presence. Saturday night, what time?
6:30.
Amen. Make your way here. You can come by airplane, train. Amen. Make your way to a desert like an airplane. Just get here how you can. Amen. I want to praise the Lord.
I know.
today as we examine yourself. Say, Lord, I got work. And I know I work on it. Because I've been working for a long time, but it ain't working. My work don't take work. So I need you to go to work. Amen. I need you to go to work on it. Because you're working on it goes way further. You're working on it for me to change. You're working on it for what they come out in honorable attitudes, honorable character, and a honorable life that you give to the world. Now, because of what we know, what you put in us and through us and all around us. Give me. Perform. Lay that on your heart. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. Like dog on the couch. Don't
change your tune.
Thank you. Y'all got it, man?